It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to the wise man with Tyrus. What, Aaron, man, we just knocking off like flies.
I guess so. Wow.
Are we sure Jeezy's not here?
No, we're never sure. I mean, for all we know, he could be at the studio. The Lego, the bird, has decided to jump in. We're going to go in the other rooms. Jeezy could be at the studio right now, and he could pop in behind your back. Because last week, I'm still laughing about
him just popping up.
45 minutes.
Yeah, well into it.
Didn't say a word. Yeah.
So,
congrats
on another successful Gutfeld visit. Thought you
did
well.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, with the exception of you trying to ask questions and, you know, maneuver your way into the hosting position. Don't think I didn't pick that up. You know, that's
I was a very curious guy about the topic. Yeah. I wanted to know more about the topic. That's all.
Speaking of the topic, I don't know. I sent it to you last night, and again, I'll always watch wrestling. Like, it doesn't matter if it's on. I'll flip it on. I'll watch it. You know, and I was interested to see how the push is going with Swerve because I thought there was a great buildup. AEW does a pretty good buildup of their of the guy who's next.
Yes.
They did it with MG, but even, you know, I thought Samoa Joe was phenomenal. But
oh yeah.
When they build a guy up, they seem to do it right for the big title.
Mhm.
But then after that it's just kind of now what? You know,
100%.
And then what we 100%. Witnessed, yeah, and then what we witnessed last night was could have been the death blow of the company. And here's the thing. The only thing that's going to ruin AEW is the boys. And it's just being real. Like, that's – but
– yeah.
Who put that together? He's not a wrestler. The punch in the gut did it. But it was just – ugh. It's like everyone's trying to get that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash moment, you know, with swerves and turns. But – Here's the thing that they are missing. I don't think anyone other than like Smart Mark's calling he's going to attack him ever felt like Tony was in danger. You know what I'm saying? Like Eric Bischoff's confronting Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. There's a little bit of fear there. You know?
Yep.
Scott Hall, 7 feet tall, jacked monster. I'm sorry, Kevin Nash was.
Yeah.
And Scott Hall was Jack, what, 6'6", 6'7", something like that? Jack guys, like, they're big physical guys, and they looked mean. They looked like they meant business. So even though you didn't know Eric was going to get piled, you know, driven through the floor, you still was like, I don't know, Eric, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't poke the bear. But there was never, like, Tony Khan was the same size as everybody who was beating him up. You know, and it was just really drawn out and just holding him up there for what is it, a flipping spike pile driver? I'm not dissing the guns, but I am dissing the whole scenario. It was way too overthought.
Yes, bingo, right? To where I've said this before, and it's another shining example of it, where the reason we're talking about Scott Hall and Kevin Nash is because we were invested in them as characters, whether they were Diesel, Razor Ramon, or Hall and Nash. We knew who we were.
Diamond Stud or Oz, it didn't matter. Vinny Vegas, didn't matter. Because they were big guys.
We were attached to them.
Yeah.
Yes, and we had seen them. And like they were presented by people like Dusty, then by WWE, who at the time, no one does it better in terms of presenting characters. And you now have, again, like, okay, people that are no different than anybody you see at the airport, maybe even on the smaller side. And there's no, like the best equation I can make, all right? We can all agree Scarface is in the top 10 movies of all time. No one can argue with that, right?
Right.
So, okay, if we can have the script of Scarface, and if we wanted to make a movie with bad actors, if we went to a community theater, and it's not a knock on AEW. I'm not trying to – I'm just – this is an example of why weak characters can ruin the best of ideas. So you can be a great booker and say this will work, but if people don't care about the characters involved, the storyline is completely down the toilet.
Because there's guys you could do that with on their roster. Hobbs walks out there. Samoa Joe walks out there. You know –
Yep.
Wardlow walks out there. There's a certain air of, is this safe for Tony Khan? And yes. Even that, even Tony's got to do more than the thumbs up, though. You know, he's got to let him know why he's reinstating him. You know, there was just, it was like they shook hands and the hands was taking too long. And then when they did the classic turn, you're like, you knew it was coming. You know, it's just one of those things where, it just, you know. Yes. And then holding him up for the pile driver was just, and he's just, it's not his fault. He's not a wrestler, but, you know, kick and squirm the whole time. You know what I'm saying? But you can't because you're worried about landing on your head. It's just, there's a reason why, I mean, and here's the thing. Those cats throw more super kicks. They can hit you from any angle, the double super kick from one or just from one of them would have been enough. Yep. And that's an easy sell for him, you know, just.
Yep.
You know, it was just a weird choice.
Yes. Yes. And really just like it's one of the other examples of when we say the little things mean everything, truly do.
You don't need to do a flip into a spike pile driver.
Yeah, and one could argue, oh, it's 2024 and we need to do that. And
it looked like it missed, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, because punching someone realistically or kicking someone realistically or hitting them with something in a realistic way that people can relate to the emotion more than the move will always pay dividends in the long run.
Yep.
And in the immediate. You know, it's a concept that's gone. But you know what? Again, it goes back to people having wrestling schools that shouldn't have them and, you know, just, again, a way of looking at the business that is not the same business I or you broke into.
Do you think, do they survive the year?
I'm going to say yes.
And here's the thing. I don't want, it's another outlet, another avenue. It's another place where wrestlers can make living. You know what I'm saying? Livings. You know what I'm saying? Substantial.
Yeah.
Working for AEW is substantial and it's a huge platform in terms of you're on TBS, you're on TNT, you're on major networks, but you don't want to see that go away. And when you look at the type of crowd that's there, it's all 40-year-old guys.
Yes,
you know, and like the big arenas, and then reconfiguring it to where it looks like an NXT episode, so to speak. Have they accepted that as their market and where they're going to go at? Because, the shots at Triple H and the shots at CM Punk, you can't have the two most over guys on your show that you're talking about working for another company.
This is my opinion of that. And this is not a reflection on anyone personally at all. This is my take. So this is not like, oh, I think Tony Khan is, off the rails. No, I think he approaches the wrestling industry from a very contemporary or modern standpoint in that he is very much into the internet culture and kind of the Dave Meltzer five stars as opposed to being in touch with the American audience. Now, I don't blame him, right? Because think about it. Look at Tony Khan. Tony Khan is in the same age demographic of the people that you said are attending his show. Right. So let's not make believe there's not a niche.
Yeah. No, there is. There is.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's a niche, but there's also a glitch. And that is that that demographic is so small in terms of like what you could be reaching if you had gone to just a very, and it's not like you're reinventing the wheel here. You're just going to a more traditional approach. Like, Tony, you want to be Vince, but you know what Vince had even back in the day? He had a booker, not a mark with a pen. I'm talking about like you get Dutch Mantel,
yep,
or you get Cornette, right? Like that level, and you say, what do you want to write my show? You don't have to leave your house. You can stay there. You can type it out. These are the talent. We'll meet this and that. I'll have these people execute the orders, right? And that's it. Like, think about what that would do, right? Because especially knowing someone, how he can utilize
talent. Here's the other side of it. When you have someone like a Dutch Mantel or a Jim Cornette or a Dr. Tom Pritchard or whomever, right, as your booker, when they tell you that a talent doesn't have it, when they tell you that this isn't the guy to push right now, that's the, I think the problem is with bookers aren't being, their word is not being strong, being held in the strongest regard in terms of like, they'll book it the right way. And let's say you take a guy like Hobbs, right? Wrestled for the heavyweight championship last night against Moxley, who's one of the best in the business right now. And I don't think it did any favors for him to have his manager doing play-by-play while his wrestler's tapping out. I just felt like if that was Heenan, he would have left the headset. He'd have been screaming up and down. You know, it just seemed very and Don's been around for a while, you know. So it's like it just seemed very kind of like, what are we doing? You know, because I look at you've got someone like Hobbs. You don't want to just throw that away.
That's the thing, right? Like, be in the moment, for God's sake.
I mean, Hobbs
that was interesting.
You know, he got hooked in the thing. And I'm not saying you can lose, okay? And Moxley hitting you with a DDT and you kicking out and him catching you in a reverse gear is not a problem. It's not a problem. Big guy didn't tap. He passed out, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, if his manager's okay with it, why the hell would anybody at home not be okay with it also?
Dude, bingo. Like, bingo. And that's interesting, because I thought that was 101.
Exactly. His manager came out with him.
It's not a knock on anyone. Wow. I mean, like, there wasn't a specific reason for it? Like,
no, he even mentioned, he's like, you know, my client, is the only reason why he's winning right now is because my client's legs hurt. Which would have been the reason to run to ringside.
Yeah, and then I mean, in a heavyweight title match,
so all the marbles,
I wouldn't want to be on commentary. I need to be
right
there by the action, making sure things happen. You know what I mean? That would just be my philosophy on it. But like, wow,
it was just weird. I felt like they didn't do Hobbs any favors last night, and I think he's one of the guys you got to build around. He's one of the guys that could be a real threat, but you have to make them a threat. You know. And that's the issue, because Samoa Joe is a walking threat every time he walks into the building.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But you know what? He built that himself. Like, you can't. They've tried to take it away from him, and they haven't been able to. Because when he goes out in that curtain, he is exactly what he's supposed to be. And
no doubt.
And we're just not. It's one of those things where you don't want to see, because listen, Tony Khan is giving a lot of guys employment opportunities in front of a national TV audience that quite frankly wouldn't get them in other places.
No, because if,
just keeping
I
it
mean,
real.
Look, we've said this. If this was 10 years ago, Lord, if this was 20 years ago, the only way the majority of these people would be allowed in a locker room is if they worked for the cleaning staff.
Yeah.
After the building was empty. And that's just, I mean, I'm not, I feel like I'm being like pessimistic, but no, that is the truth, because of the lack of respect a lot of people have. I mean, and again, there's gems out there. There truly are gems. I mean, like, you know, Wardlow, potential, Will Hobbs, like those two, you know, it's funny. I mean, I can already tell we would book those guys the exact same way in terms of how to build them up.
Yeah.
How to, you know, present them on television. and accentuating their strengths. And the thing is, when you try to make this action figure wrestling, like, oh, I'm going to have this guy go against this guy because that'll be a – no. Like, you need to approach this from a storytelling standpoint to where, like, wouldn't it be cool if this character interacted with this character? And, like, in WWF, like, look, we've seen some winners, okay? There's been the wrestling plumber, T.L. Hoppers. There's been the goon, the hockey guy. So, but there's also – there's been the model Rick Martel, right? Like a gimmick that's like, but then you look at what that was pretty cool. There's a Tatanka.
Yeah.
You know, Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid. Like that, like they're these characters that you instantly, like when you talk about them, you know who they are. And like you're not getting like, oh, Will Hobbs or whoever, right? Like versus so and so, and it's just another dude in spandex doing flips. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, and Wardlow is, does he stay on TV enough to get behind him?
No. And like, why? Like, that's the thing that's frustrating.
Because I honestly think what's the group? Shades of Black. What is the three? House of Black? House of Black is awesome.
Like, ah, okay.
Yeah. Why do they not have a lock on everything? He was, you know, and Homeboy was literally kicking everybody's head off, you know. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, it's just weird. It's just weird. They have all the ingredients, you know, but it just seems like a disconnect other than their show is based around smart marks.
That's it, dude. I mean, that's 100%. And again, you have a niche audience and.
Right, and that's fine. Great, but that's fine. If that's your niche and that's the way you're going and that's what you're billing for and that's what you do, then so be it. But
oh yeah, no, it's like not like hating on anyone, but it's just I think it's sad because the potential that we both know is there and everyone sees it. You know, again, you have a guy like Dustin Rhodes in the back. Why are you not leaning on him? You know,
for everything.
They were privileged enough. Yes.
He's been through every situation. And he's done it at a high level. Yeah, Dustin would be my booker.
Right? And then you have a double A, a Dean Malenko, and you're not saying, hey, like, what the hell do we do? How can we make the show better? And just say, Arn, Dean, go do your thing. And the fact that, like, the young talent aren't listening to them. I mean, wait a minute. We also have Billy Gunn, who knows how to work PD style wrestling better than Billy Gunn.
Because if it was a shoot, Billy Gunn be champ, period.
Bingo. Yeah. Yeah. But think about that, right? Like a Billy Gunn who can be like a player coach still and like understands the timing of it. Jeff Jarrett. Like I would, one of the things, Double J, and this is fun fact or not so fun fact, he was one of my all time favorite performers in the WWF. Not like Jeff Jarrett and the Silver, but I'm talking about the country music singer Double J Jeff Jarrett. There was something so obnoxious about that and how he just leaned into it. Like, I always kind of dug it.
Yeah.
And him working, knowing how to work that style. Again, it's called wrestling, right? And I think that evokes a certain image, but it's usually the right one. But it's wrestling done correctly. Because I think in both of our opinions, there's nothing better.
Yeah, I think if you had a team right now that came out like Ole and Arn did with the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, I think they would be one of the most dominant popular tag teams and would have all the heat in the world because they just –
Well, doesn't –
They just work.
Doesn't that one team that they're trying, FTR, the Revival or FTR or something?
Yeah,
FTR, I think.
Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I don't watch close enough to know all. I just kind of whenever Samoa Joe wrestles, I'll Moxley. There's just certain guys that you know you just enjoy watching because they slow it down. You know the reason why Adam and Christian's story is so good is because they know how to tell a damn story. What sucks is that. Those two guys are doing it together at a high level, and you would like to see some of that run downhill. You'd like to see guys do programs with a Christian or with an Adam and grow from it. You know, I can say
100%.
Me working Christian and Adam, my confidence was in terms of like, you always kind of wonder when you first are up, like, can you hang with these guys? You know, can you work with these guys?
Yeah.
Can they work with you? And that was my first. Those were two of the biggest stars at the time that I was feuding with Alberto. And it was my job every week to protect Alberto. Like, that was my job, which meant that I was
there
was going to be a lot of spears coming my way. And so be it. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a hot minute.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was what it was, but the trade-off was is that I was working Adam and Christian, and then when Adam retired, it was Rey Mysterio and Christian. It was Kane and Christian. So, I mean, it was just like you're in there, and at that point when that stuff's over – and it's no longer, hey, what are you doing? I need to know is, hey, see you out there. Once you get to that level of respect. So you want that. Same thing, like, after you work with DX, you're like, what else can – you're no longer sitting at the table. You can now help set the table.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
And we're looking for – you want to see more guys set the table. You know, but I'm just saying –
yes.
And you have to be careful because, you know – The first thing they want to do when they get a big guy is beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't learn anything from the Andre the Giant situation. Like, let's switch gears. WWE, Big Show, we should have been able to count on our hands how many times he has been clean beaten.
Oh, absolutely.
Or never tapped. Like, there should have been some caveat. Mm-hmm. Because Big Show is a once-in-a-generation type. Andre was that one. No. Then you get a Big Show. And, you know, maybe it's
agreed.
And when you get someone like that, and Show wasn't a good big man. He was a good worker, period. And
absolutely.
But he was, because of that, sometimes, and you know, I've heard that a lot. Like, sometimes, like, well, you know, you're too good of a worker to just be a big guy or a heater. So, you know, we need you to get guys over. But Big Show is a different animal. I'm talking, once you get in that 7-foot range and look the way he looks, there is no reason. And the line to beat him from the top guys in Raw during that time was there, Triple H, Rock, Hunter, everybody wanted to beat him. Instead of going, this should have been the one guy who was just smoking everybody and everybody's avoiding him. Because, you know, again, Big Show's got – he doesn't have to work again the rest of his life. He's had a great career. But just in terms of, like, when you have something that you know is going to win. Big Show, as a babyface for most of his career, smoking everybody, not really ever getting a title shot, and then switching the flip. I mean, literally, there was enough time between Andre and Show, it could have been done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
a true attraction.
You had it. You know, Mark Henry was another one. You know, he was the world's strongest man.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think for the most part, I think Mark was protected probably a little bit more than Show was. But it's still one of those things where you're like, and again, I had to compete with these guys for TV time. So I'm not, but still there's a certain thing that even, with my short feud with Big Show, and never really had a feud with Mark, but I think we worked that one time in a house show with you and I tagged together one night. That was a weird pairing.
That's right. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It was you and me against it was against Big E and Mark Henry.
And that was in Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, because I remember my my girlfriend at the time and her family in the front row.
Yes, and going, this is and that's the weirdest why match that's why ever. I took the L because I didn't want you to look bad at home.
Which I didn't care. I was like,
no,
I'll
you
do
didn't
it.
Care, but I was like, you had a whole crowd, and at that point, man, I was, you know, the writing was on the wall. I was just like, I got it, bro. Don't even. You're like, I remember you're like, seriously, it's no problem. I'll take it. I was like, nah, I got it. It's all good. Don't worry about it, you know. And
well, hey, we can laugh about it now.
Yeah. I think I remember at this point, Arn had had it with me too, I think, a little bit. And I remember I was like, what do you want tonight? He's like, I don't care. Just don't suck. I think he was just like at that point,
yep.
You know, I was like, oh, good talk, man. And then went back yep. out there. But it was a weird pairing.
That's it.
It was a weird pairing.
Yep.
You know, but yep. Hey, house shows, we always had fun. Didn't matter what was going on on TV or the politics backstage. The one thing that I always had fun was on the house shows.
All the time. That was, like, looking back, the best part of being there.
And yeah. Even, like, oh, yeah. Because you could create so much and have so much yep. fun and pop yourself. I think I remember, since we're talking about Arn, he bet me that I couldn't rig the election. It was us. It was voting to see whether one of the Bellas had to leave or one of the Funkadactyls had to leave. And I texted a bunch of people to vote Ariana off. And we got out there, and it's always the same thing at the house show. The heels always get voted off. And the only one who knew was me and Arn. And then we went out there, and when they were like, because I remember the look on your face was like, what the hell just happened? You know, that was the night I broke out the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat chops.
Oh my God, that was Ireland.
Yes. Just like, what the hell?
Dude. Okay. Like, that was when, like, someone, like, got. Like, there was a dance that was supposed to be a worm, but it looked like...
Yes.
Like, right, someone was... I forget who it was, and then there was, like, a spot, and then we got to the back, and because it was Cody and I, and the Bellas versus you, Tenzai, and the Funkadactyls, right?
Yes, yes.
And then Fitz, like, his reaction, he goes, well, that was a lot of sex out there.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck did he just say? And then we double it, the Dublin sex match, because, like, we're like, what? But I think he was talking about, like, the dancing at the beginning.
Yes.
And, like, it was just, I guess it was a little too heavy in that department.
Oh, well, we always ended up with a spot where either Cody's head was in your crotch or you guys are always in some, like, weird thing.
I'll say that. I enjoyed being a heel team with him on the house.
You guys were good. You guys got so much heat. Like, just walking out. Just walking out, the place hated you. I mean, it didn't matter who you were wrestling. Like, the two of you, you're in the, like, purple. He's in purple. You're in, like, a purple and a little bit of pink highlight. I mean, you guys just came walking out like a couple of ass every week. Like, it wasn't hard. Me and Tenzai didn't have to do much. And
Which
is what you want. You don't want to run 7,000 spots to get a cheer, you know?
No, that's it, man, right? That's it. And it's like we were actually kind of fortunate because we had our singles feud, and then we got to have a tag feud later.
Yeah, we were just married at the hip for a long time. And it was a great spot to be, at least on the house shows. We knew we were getting 12 minutes every night, at least.
Mm-hmm.
To go out there and just have fun.
We'll work for six, but we'll take 12.
We'll take 12. We're going to work for six because it's you hopping over the rail.
Yep.
Stretching, then doing the screen. I mean, it was just crowds. And here's the thing. It only works if the crowd loves it. If the crowd loves it and you can spare your body a night of crazy bumps, you're still going to give them the big bump. You're still going to give them the work when the time comes. But you built – they wanted me to kick your ass so bad. They could not wait. So when I finally just grabbed you, the place went nuts.
Yeah.
You know, because I just. That's it was like, if I finally get my hands on you, because you would use Cody and this, that, and Tenzai, and then eventually, you know, something happens, and then boom, there's the comeback, harden the paint, you know, and I don't touch you until the comeback.
That's it.
You know, so that's how it was just simple. Single match was the same thing. It was just, we didn't even get much. The shine was, like, simple. I think it was a couple of, like, hip toss that you bumped out to the floor, and then eventually after the chicken spot, you found a way to cut me off because we didn't need it. We had so much in the front that we went straight to heat so we could get a double heat.
But that was like – and you know what? Again, like, I took that for granted because when I left WWE – they're like the timing of it, right? Like you said, the chicken spot, when, like, what working is not exchanging fake moves. Working is being on the same page with each other. Like when I slid out of the ring, you knew that was your time to get the entire crowd chanting chicken. And like you pass me the hot potato, I'm going to like get pissed. You're going to pull me in. I pass you the hot potato. Like yeah. That's how that works.
But you know what, how it would be today if we ran that match like that, if I was had the mindset of some of the new guys, is I'd be like, hey, man, I'm not really getting a whole lot into this shine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I need to get my power slam in, and I got to get my flying clothesline in the shine. That's my signature stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running like a coward from you, and the crowd's calling me names and cheering. You want to stop doing that to do the wrestling moves? Well, yeah. Because I got to get my move in. I mean, I was a part of one of those conversations once, and I just looked at him and said, okay, what are you going to do again? And then we got out there, and I didn't do any of it. Matter of fact, I didn't even touch him. What was that? 72.
Yeah,
you clothesline me out, I'll clotheslining you out, then I'll pick slam
sure.
you slam me, then we shoot out, double clothesline, and then then we feed up, see who's up first, both make tags, and I'm like, that's the opening spot with the two biggest guys. That's what you want to do? Yeah, cool. Bell rang, went face-to-face or whatever, was circling around, and I was like, easy, let the crowd milk it, baby. And then took one step back, did the wonderful kiss my ass, and tagged out. Like, he's all yours, Pope. And that was it. No, Jordan. Like, Pope was on the other side. But Pope from the other side was like, son of a bitch. And tagged Jordan in, and Jordan's
there
like,
with the sunglasses on.
Yeah. Jordan's like, what do I do? I don't know. You guys called it. Figure it out. I don't know. I'm out. And that was it.
Yeah.
Because it was
my God,
it was just not worth the argument.
That's so true, though. Like, I remember you saying, like it was right before you went out, you went, this is what's going on. Like, this is how I'm handling it. And I was watching it. And I think I was next to the boss, and when that happened, I just lost it. And it, why are you laughing? It, well, hey, just that was the funniest spot of the night, and that's all I said. Because that to me was just it's such a brilliant way to deal with a lot of this crap in the business. Where like, if I want to come at you this and this, you know what? Just tag out and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's like taking a knee when you left Impact.
Yeah. I forgot. I took a knee.
Sometimes just tag out.
Just tag out, man. When all else fails, tag out. I forgot I did that on Impact. I was you want me to do what? I'm good. I'm good. I'm taking a knee. Oh, that was funny. Although I probably burnt it, and I don't like burning bridges, but I came back to TV after that, and then they gave me the pitch about going and teaching Fala how to be cool at nightclubs, and I was like, yeah, I'm good, but it was just a difference of opinion creatively, but it was a mutual parting of the ways.
Yeah, that's it, and you know what? It's never necessarily a bad thing, right? Like at the time when people look at like, oh, it didn't work out in this company or this didn't work out, you can like then turn your attention to other avenues in life, and you don't know what door's going to open up. And
speaking of other avenues, before we go, so Aaron, I have a special guest here today that has a question for you.
Oh yes.
How's your eyeliner?
Oh my God. That's Georgie. And well, I can say this.
Ask again,
forgive
Georgie.
Me. I never get like this on the air.
Ask her again, Georgie. Ask him again, Georgie.
You called her.
Wait a minute. I'm a little tongue tied on the air. I don't get like this. For those that don't know, at NWA for character work,
I wear character purposes,
a little
yes.
bit, a little bit of eyeliner and mascara. And
yes,
when Georgie, sees
when my
me,
daughter sees Aaron, who's she's known like an uncle. What did you say, Georgie, when you saw him?
Hey, girl.
And Aaron, you just froze in your tracks, and you're like, "Excuse me?" She's like, "I love your eyes, girlfriend."
I didn't know what to say.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to say. And but I do not have eyeliner on at the moment, at all.
She recently saw your clip, your award-winning clip, and she kept arguing me, saying, "That's not Aaron. That's not Aaron." And I said, "The guy who says not paying for it's not Aaron." She's like, "Yeah, he doesn't have any eyeliner on." So she's convinced you wear it in your personal life.
I do not. I can assure her that I do not. And I can assure all the listeners that I do not. I didn't wear it on Gutfeld. See, I just had it was just me.
Wow, it's hard. He's struggling right now.
I know.
Any other questions for Aaron, Georgie, before we let him go?
How much eyeliner do you have?
Like, what brand does he use? Like, yeah. See if we can get him a sponsorship, Georgie?
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron, for those of you out there, if you're looking to sponsor Aaron, what preferable eyeliner do you prefer to wear? Is there a particular brand, or you just grab whatever's handy at the local CVS? Like, what are we doing here? Like,
well, okay, if we're looking for an honest answer, I do not own eyeliner. I don't know the brands. I don't have any in my possession. When I go to hair and makeup, they do it. But if anyone knows of a fine tip liquid black, I would absolutely be interested in sponsorship, because you know what? I'd do that. But it has to be the fine tip black. But that's just in case anyone out there has any leads. But I don't wear it in my personal life.
That's very specific.
It's very specific type there. Just like you
have to know these things, right?
Like, ladies in the office are like, "Wow, this guy knows his stuff."
Hey. I spent some time in the makeup chair.
Yeah. What'd you say, Georgie?
You really know your makeup.
Well, not everything. Like, I'm not like a foundation expert, or I'm not like a contouring expert. I'm more of just a basic eye enhancement guy. Just eyeliner, mascara, and it's only for TV purposes.
Yeah, I didn't know. What is he talking about, Georgie? Foundation.
Yeah.
What's foundation?
What you put.
I thought foundation was the stuff underneath that held a bridge up, so I'm a little confused right now. What is it, Georgie?
It's like, so there's like different types of foundation. There's ones that you can like put under your eye, and then there's one you just put all over your face.
Oh, so Aaron's
it's the foundation of a good complexion, in other words, right? Like, you have to build a foundation first, Tyrus, and then once you have the foundation on, you can get into contouring, any kind of eye-enhancing thing. You know, some people like to get a little cray-cray around the eyebrows. I don't touch my eyebrows. I am 100%.
You draw the line at eyebrows.
Except for a little,
Eyebrows is a deal breaker.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
I'm actually going to go.
This is the part where I really
have a shave.
Yeah, I really need Jeezy to jump in right now and say, "Damn." That's where we're at.
Yeah, is Jeezy even here? My God, no. Right? Like,
Well, I'll say it for him. Damn. Thanks, Aaron, for more awkward podcasts like this, just like this. You can check us out at Fox News FoxNewsPodcast.com. Hashtag makeup tips with Aaron will be out on DVD and cassettes where available.
Makeup tutorials
sponsored by Aaron. And good luck with that. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.